Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to Starbucks, powered by Chris Gates Fitness. I'm your host, Anthony DiNardo. With me, we have Jim Rosati. Jim, the very first happy Monday of the 2024 regular season. What's up?
What's going on? It's a very happy Monday, too.
Why is that, Jim?
Your Pittsburgh Pirates are 4-0 after a four-game sweep of the Miami Marlins. So, yeah. Great stuff this weekend. This much fun was had this weekend.
I couldn't have asked for a better weekend of baseball. And just like everything happening in the North Shore Nine, everything happening with Pirates, like this is just great. Like, baseball is back, and it came back in like a really, really fun and great way. And again, like the Pirates are 4-0.
Yeah. And it's the offense, really. We talked about on the post game show last night with Doug, you're getting contributions from almost everyone on the roster. Almost everyone. Like,
even probably, Alika Williams.
Yeah. I mean, even Alika Williams. Yeah. I would say maybe not Andrew McCutchen. He was like the one person, but he also walked a lot. So, I mean, he contributed in his own different way. Jack Sawinski got an RBI. So even like the two really struggling bats still have contributed in some capacity these four games. Yeah, I mean, you could say every single person on this roster, other than Bailey Falter, has like really helped this team win. Yeah.
No, honestly, though, like it is kind of funny, but you're right. The offense has, like, the best way to put it is like they just keep finding ways to win. And they've come back, like this team has come back twice. Like there was four games, two of them they had the lead handily, and they kept it. And the other two, they were down, and they were down quite a few, I think five runs in both, right?
At one they point. Were down, or, like it was a significant comeback four. Both games.
The first
I don't
game
know if it was five.
Four.
Yeah, I don't know if it was five the first time, but.
Okay. I think the first one might have been four, but at either rate, they were down significant runs, like you mentioned, and they came back in both. Extras in both as well, and they won. And so, like, a few things, and then it's all small sample. But this Pirates team that all of us watching this show right now or talking on this show right now are accustomed to are a Pirates team that just aren't equipped to come back from deficits like that. And the other thing on that is this is a Pirates team that you've seen time and time again lose in extras. Like, they don't win. Because in extras, call it a day. They lose. They negated both of those. They came back. They won an extras every time. Like, they won four games doing it in different ways. You had the home runs. You're just hitting, like, the bunts, the just everything. They just found ways to win. Got to be excited.
Yeah, and as far as – lost my train of thought here, but it's early. But no, you're right. Like, you're right. It's they did things that you're not really used to them seeing. The extra inning wins is a huge example. Like, I can't recall two extra inning wins in a row. Like, typically they'd get into extra innings and it would just be a disaster. I think the reason why you've seen these comebacks, yeah, the offense is doing what they need to do. But another piece that, you know, we talked about all offseason long, the bullpen. Right. And then coming out of spring training, we were a little worried because Colin Holderman's on the IL, Dowry Moretta lost for the year, Carmen Majinski's on the IL. So you lost three pretty key pieces to that bullpen. And so that depth, that really deep bullpen that we had, you're like, ooh, this one's not quite what we envisioned it would look like. But the bullpen this weekend, the all four games, they really, really stepped up because the Pirates, when they did get behind, that bullpen just shut things down and said, hey, you know what? You're ahead right now, but we're not letting you score again. And just an outstanding job from the bullpen, really top to bottom. Every single pitcher out there contributed to these four games. And like I said, bullpen was a huge, huge part of that. Luis Ortiz, four scoreless out of the bullpen. Josh Fleming, 3 1/3 scoreless. Hunter Stratton, 2 1/3 with his first career save. Ryder Ryan getting a win. It was those other people, too, who you weren't expecting, like Fleming, Stratton, Ryan, Jose Hernandez, who wasn't even on the team originally. He comes in and has a huge save on opening day. So, yeah, it was the guys who you expect, right, to perform well. Like Aroldis Chapman had a great series. Bednar, again, gave up the blown save on last night, but pitched a scoreless inning on Saturday. It was all the other guys, though. Each and every person contributed out of that bullpen. So it was a really good job by that unit in particular, because they really made sure that when the Pirates got down, they gave them the chance to come back.
100% accurate. And that's what I wanted to say. You're talking about all the injuries, and I wanted to allude to, and then the thing is, we weren't sure about David Bednar. Like, he was on the roster opposed to the other three that you mentioned, but we knew about the injuries. And then game one, we were told he was unavailable. So it's like, oh, what's going on with David Bednar? But all right, you're right. Like, the ironic part is the depth was lacking. The one guy that you knew you could trust on, David Bednar, is the guy actually looked the worst, per se, of the group, which was okay. Like, it didn't hurt them. They eventually won and such. But, you know, he did give up the home run. Now, I'll say this. Like, he looked good, actually. He gave up the one home run. So, yeah. Like, there's a mark on his record that shows one earned run, but he did look good. Also, a really good thing because we're questioning his health. He looks good, but he does give up the run. Josh Fleming, the other guy who gave up the run, but also looked pretty decent in his outing. Did what he needed to do, like his three-out save, which also, like, he probably just was used a little bit more than he'd want. But yes, like, shout-out to that bullpen, because a lot of unsung heroes this weekend in that bullpen. And I don't know. Again, it's four games. It's quite early. All you can do is judge off what you've seen, but there seemed to be some confidence there. And now, granted, again, it's a Miami Marlins lineup. Wasn't the best, but like Hunter Stratton, he was your dark horse. He's on the club. You know what? Hunter Stratton kind of looks pretty good. You know? Ryan Barucki still looks pretty good. Ryder Ryan, I don't know. Maybe there's something there. He looked kind of good. So, there's still Carmen Majinski, who's Derek Shelton said should be coming back shortly. There's Carmen Majinski, who, you know, was working in AAA for rehab start or outings. So, like, reinforcements are coming. Jose Hernandez already optioned down with Roman Z coming back from paternity. I think you witnessed this weekend what that strength of the bullpen is. And that's good.
Yeah, it's very, very, very good. And it sounds like, you know, Holderman made a rehab appearance down in Indianapolis. Carmen Majinski, reports are that he's going to start pitching in games here soon as well. So bullpen's looking good, and reinforcements seem to be on the way, hopefully not too far out.
Right. Yeah. All right. And again, like back to the offense. Yeah. Third most hits in Major League Baseball right now. I don't know, man. Like Ke'Bryan Hayes, let's talk about that. I just want to mention him again. He has multiple hits. He has two hits in every single game. He has 8 hits on the season. 4 games, 2 hits apiece. Since August 2nd, right, coming back from the IL, he's batting .311. Like this dude, I don't know. I'm afraid to jump the gun. I'm just so afraid. I've been trying to butt my tongue all spring, but like saying the hopeful things. But like we are in the regular season. Now, granted, it's now just April 1st, but it is 4 games of regular season. Yes, it's the Marlins pitching. Like there's all these things you can take away, but he just looks so damn good.
Yeah, and he's walking, he's striking out less, putting the ball in play, hitting the ball hard. Coming up with timely hits too, 4 runs batted in too by Hayes. Like he was coming through in clutch situations with runners on base. He, like I said, 4 runs batted in for Hayes, 5 for Reynolds. So that middle of the lineup, it was frustrating, especially that first game. I think they went like 2-for-15 or something like that with runners in scoring position. Like it was pretty rough.
Yes.
But later on, as the series progressed, there were some big timely hits throughout the whole series. And then, like I said, just great at bats being taken kind of up and down the lineup. I mean, you look at the walk rate by everybody and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 players. Again, very small sample size, but there's 9 hitters right now with a double-digit walk rate on this team. Strikeouts were a little out of control a couple of the games too, but they put up some runs. Like they didn't score less than 6 runs in any of the games. And we talked about how, like I said, the pitching is a little suspect. The starting pitching and well, you know, Keller didn't look great. Jones looked great. Perez only gave up a run, but he only went 4 1/3. And obviously Falter didn't look great. So I said it was that bullpen who really kind of shut the door for the majority of the series, and the offense just putting up runs. Like they were scoring off these Marlins pitchers, and they weren't complaining about the shadows after the series, unlike the the other team. Do you see that?
Right. Yeah.
Jazz.
I don't know. I love you.
If you haven't seen it, I'm a big Jazz Chisholm fan too. But yeah, the dude after the game was saying, basically blaming their losses, that the roof was open. They're not used to playing with the shadows. And it's like, buddy, both teams had to play with shadows.
Right.
and like, dude, you just hit a grand slam too. Like, what are you? Just a stupid excuse.
Well, I mean, he knew it was Bailey Falter. Like, it, you know, that's even Jazz. Like, I'm not counting that.
Yeah.
But no, I'm with you. Jazz, I love him. Very outspoken. But yeah, that's not a good excuse.
Yeah.
You just didn't win because you weren't all that good.
Right. They played
bad. And honestly, here's the thing, too. I just I don't really want to say this, but like to that point, too, like this team could very easily be 2-2. I mean, I don't know how to take this. I kind of want to preface it in this way. There was a lot of sloppy baseball played on both sides, but like even with the Pirates side, like there was a lot of sloppy baseball, like defensively on the base paths, just in general, very sloppy play. And yet they still are 4-0. So like, I don't know if that's something that leaves you more encouraged in that sense. Like they weren't playing their best baseball by any means. And they're 4-0 right now. So,
yeah, super encouraging.
That's kind of where, like, I'm left that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's encouraging. That's encouraging because, yeah, they clearly weren't. They were very sloppy all weekend. Very. Like, poor even base Ke'Bryan running.
Hayes had 2 errors.
Poor base running, poor fielding. It was a rough. They didn't do the little things right all the time. Now, there were certain situations where they did, like in extra innings yesterday. Perfectly executed small ball situation that they just executed to a T. But there were certain times throughout the series where it was like, yeah, we need to brush up on some of these fundamentals a little bit. But yeah, they take right. The series, sweep it. Hell of a start to the year.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy.
It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Very excited. Let's move on to something else here. This one left me confusing, and I think a lot of people were kind of confused. And you could like it, you could not like it. However, I think, but anyway, we're definitely all surprised on it. So the Pirates traded JT Brubaker. He's now a New York Yankee. They traded him and international money. So here's the thing. Like, you would normally see, like, they traded him and they gained international money or such. No, they traded away international bonus pool allocated dollars as well. Again, for all those watching, it's not actual money that was exchanged. Yes, we know that. It's like Jim says, put it, it's a credit card. Your limit has now just been decreased. And they increased the Yankees' limit on spending. But yeah, like, they traded JT Brubaker and international money to the Yankees for a player to be named later. To me, again, completely shocked by it. Now, me personally, I'm kind of confused by it. What are your thoughts first?
Yeah, I guess it, you know, it came out of left field. I wasn't really expecting it to happen. With him being injured, you don't really see rehabbing Tommy John pitchers get traded all the time. You know, the Pirates coming off of Tommy John, they traded Jameson Taillon to the Yankees a few years back, and now they're trading Brubaker. So those are like the only two I can remember, like, in recent past. I'm not really sure what to think of this trade yet. I think I'm going to reserve, like, any sort of judgment until I see what the player to be named later is. And I put it out there when it happened, like, I think it's going to be somebody who is at least somewhat interesting. JT Brubaker is a major league starting pitcher, right? So you're it's not like you're just giving up nothing here.
Right.
Even after the injury, I think he's shown enough to say, like, this dude's a big leaguer, right? So I don't think you just give big leaguers away, you know, who are making $2.25 million. Plus, you throw in that international bonus pool money. And I think something is coming back here in return that's going to make us go, oh, well, you know what? That's actually, it's an interesting prospect. So I want to kind of wait to reserve judgment until I see that. But yeah, kind of surprising. And Brubaker's been in the organization for 8-9 years right now. Long time Pirate. And, you know, we were kind of expecting him to join the team maybe around July or so. I think the biggest thing with Brubaker, and the reason why, you know, I'm not really all that concerned with this, and I think this is the Pirates thinking too, is just, I mean, look at the budget. This team doesn't like spending money, right? Especially on unknown things. And he was making $2.25 million next year. He was going to probably make $2.5, $2.75 million the year after. Someone on Twitter, I want to say it was actually Tim Williams on Twitter, said, you know, you're basically going to pay JT Brubaker $5 million over the next 2 years, right? So if you're the Pirates, can you better allocate that money to someone who, one, just isn't coming off Tommy John surgery? You don't know exactly who he's going to be in 3 months. And yeah, can you find that starting pitching depth, which that's what Brubaker is at this point. He would be depth. Like, I don't know if you're even plugging Brubaker into the rotation in July, right? He's going to be somebody that you're like, all right, he's here if we need him.
Right.
And so I think that's just a way to look at it. Like, he was going to cost the Pirates $5 million over the next year and 3 months, basically. And they were like, you know what? We can probably find a JT Brubaker for less than that.
I hate that you're probably right. And that's the only thing I can think of, which again, just leads, it's a money thing. Because to me, the timing of it is like what's the most interesting part and why I question why. Because you're 100% accurate. Like he's a major league pitcher. He's a death piece. And you know, a lot of people were coming and replying to me, you know, making the argument of this team doesn't need him. You know, like you already have Mitch Keller here. There's Martin Perez. There's Gonzalez. We see Jared Jones now, by the way. You saw Paul Skeen start in AAA. There's Bubba. There's Salamedo. There's Mike Burrows coming back. You know, there's Luis Ortiz. There's like, look at this depth. And like, I guess my rebuttal is, well, yeah, look at the depth. Quinn Priester. We've had some eyeballs on this depth, and it hasn't been all that talented. Rowanzi's delegated to the bullpen. Luis Ortiz is delegated to the bullpen. Quinn Priester was optioned down the AAA. We don't know what you're getting at Michael Burrows because he's never even pitched in the major leagues, and he's got Tommy John. You know, so like the thing about Brubaker is exactly what you said. He's also interesting. Like, I'm not going to compare him talent-wise to this player. By no means don't make this comparison in that sense. But a lot of people hated Joe Musgrove as well because of ERA. You know, stuff like that. They didn't like Joe Musgrove all that well until he went somewhere else. You saw the talent in him, and that team unlocked him. And I'm not saying, like, the Pirates aren't going to unlock JT Brubaker comes back, whatever. But I'm saying, like, there's talent in JT Brubaker. There's things that are interesting. He's no Joe Musgrove. I get that. But I do think people hate on him a lot more than he deserves because of said ERA. He's a talented pitcher. And coming back from Tommy John, I'm intrigued to see what he could do and add to that depth potentially because you just don't know. Like, he's a perfect example. Who's next to get Tommy John? Like, him and Michael Burrows were kind of being counted on last year, and they're out because of Tommy John. Darian Redd is already out this year for Tommy John. Like, what if somebody's next? What if someone has a shoulder injury? What if, like, what if? And my thing is, like, you can make, like, if you want to trade them, then find out what you have in July. And if at that point you have the depth, then trade them. But I just feel like there could be potential where you need a JT Brubaker and now you have to trade for it when you already had it. And it was just $2.25 million. And maybe that pitcher that you're getting is more expensive. Who knows? So that's just where I'm at. The timing of everything is interesting to me. But I'm not here to say right or wrong. I need to see the return also. The fact they had to add international money to it tells me exactly what you're saying. And also Ben alluded to it, that there's going to be something of intrigue to this prospect. So I guess, like, once you find out who it is, then we could, of course, make a better sound judgment on this trade. But again, to me, the timing of it is what's most interesting. So all I can think of is money, like you said, and or there's a guy they really, really want. Here's an opportunity to get him.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be more the former, but I do think they're going to get a decent piece in return. And Ben Cherington did say that on his radio show yesterday, that he expects something significant in return. So yeah, we'll see how that turns out.
There it is. All right. So cool. We'll find out. But again, very interested on the timing of it. Speaking of timing, it's 7:24 and Jim, we have a brand new segment.
We do. Before we get to that segment though, real quick.
Yes.
The show, all as always for the entire season, powered by Chris Gates Fitness. Chris is a huge Pittsburgh sports fan, friend of the show, works with me, just doing a great job kind of holding me accountable to my goals. But he works with people all over Pittsburgh, all over the world to build muscle, burn fat, and improve health and fitness. The goal with every person he works with is to make progress while learning how to sustainably manage your diet and exercise routine for life. Chris just recently, last week, launched a really cool resource that can help to start making progress immediately for you. It's his free calorie calculator, which will tell you exactly how many calories, protein, carbs, fats to eat based on any fitness goal you choose. All you've got to do is enter a few basic pieces of information about yourself and the calculator does the rest, making it easy to simplify one of the most complicated aspects of fitness, which is your diet. It's completely free to sign up if you sign up for his mailing list. So head over to chrisgatesfitness.com/newsletter. Again, that's chrisgatesfitness.com/newsletter. to sign up and get your free copy.
And what's great about that is now you get to fit in all the Permane sandwiches it's going to have.
Yeah.
To be able to still achieve the goals that you want.
Yep. Chris is going to have to do maybe some tweaks there to account for all the Permane sandwiches everybody's going to be eating this summer.
Right. Because again, and as he said on Twitter too, to us, like the Pirates aren't losing. They're not losing ever again.
Yeah.
So back to what we're alluding to though, brand new segment. Should we bring on our guest?
Let's do it. Let's bring him on.
So what you're going to see every single Monday going forward, Anthony Murphy, here's our new segment, Starbucks on Deck, because we have Jim and I doing Starbucks, and Anthony Murphy from Bucks on Deck is joining us. We're going to talk some prospects.
Let's go. What's going on, guys?
Hey, good morning. Bright and early. Oh, are you already regretting the decision?
I probably give it about 11, and I'm sure that's where the regret's going to kick in.
Yeah, yeah. But no, thanks for
before the Pirates game.
thanks for hopping on here. So, always want to just kind of recap the week with prospects on the show. And you know what, we pay attention to the prospects, but I mean this is really your lane here, Murphy. So let's kind of just do a quick recap of the weekend, maybe a look ahead to next week. I think the thing everybody wants to talk about, you know, I saw him on Saturday, gave my thoughts on him. We've got a video up on YouTube where it's, you know, 5-6 minute clip of just my thoughts on Paul Skeens. But you watched the game as well. So I mean, what are our takeaways from Paul Skeens' first re-inning outing as a professional?
So that was a pretty electric. I mean, I guess you can speak to just how electric it was. You were there, but I mean, it was kind of like everything we were hoping for, right? I mean, I think Nola did bring this up though. After the game on Sunday, we were starting to question just how good like Louisville was, because you know, like I'm sure we'll get to Priester, but like Priester's not known for as a big swing and miss guy, and he was racking up the swing and misses there. So we started questioning just how good Louisville was, and we kind of had to circle back to Skeens to start. But I mean, what, he averaged 100 miles an hour with the fastball, played really good up in the zone. Was it 6 swing and misses with the fastball? Looked good. Looked exactly what you wanted. Now I guess the next step would be getting to start stretching them out longer. So
yeah, I think I brought that up too. Like this Louisville lineup this weekend wasn't exactly world beaters, kind of up and down the lineup. I can't think of too many, like there weren't any real good prospects on there. There were some 4A guys, right? Yeah. With major league experience where like they're not really good major leaguers, but they're probably decent AAA hitters.
I saw Perez's name on there. I was like, oh boy.
Yeah. I think Hernan Perez was their number 3 hitter or something like that. So yeah, like that, no, the same middle of that bats lineup wasn't all that great. but yeah, I mean, he was electric. Just everything you couldn't have asked for a better outing out of Paul Skeens. Yeah. He was perfect through 3 innings. Yeah. with all those swings and misses. He dominated those guys. So certainly looking forward to a matchup there. He his next start is Friday against Memphis. I haven't really looked into Memphis too much, or really the Cardinals farm system in general, to see if they're really any better than Louisville. But yeah, that'll be Friday. And what's cool about that game is Pirates game starts at 4:12. It'll be over probably by the time that Skeens starts. So everybody will be able to catch both games.
Yeah, it'll be over for me regardless. Because
yeah. And that's why we have you on this show here.
Right, right. You watch the minor league games while all of us watch the major league games. So,
years prior, that was a good thing most of the time because like I wasn't missing much. Now I might have to prioritize a little bit better.
You're just going to need a separate screen. You're going to need another screen.
Oh, yeah. That means I need a fourth TV now.
There you go.
In the office. So
sounds like a very good business proposal.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, he was great. You couldn't ask for anything more. You mentioned the average fastball being 100 miles an hour. He hit 101.2, I think is what he topped out at. My takeaway coming out of that was just, yeah, I think you want to build him up, but you also, like, there's only so many bullets in that gun this year, right? I don't know what the number of bullets is, but the Pirates have a rough number of how many bullets Paul Skenes has in his gun, right? My thought right now is make sure that he's starting every fifth day, but make sure that those bullets that he has get used in the right spots, right? I think that's my biggest thing looking forward now is I don't think Paul Skenes should ever make a six inning start in AAA. Not one single six inning start in AAA. Like, give him this 3-inning start, maybe give him a 4-inning start, maybe give him a couple 4-inning starts. But then once he's able to show you he can go 5 on 5 days rest, don't waste any more bullets. Take those bullets that you have and use them against major league hitters at that point. That's my stance right now after seeing him.
I mean, that's fair. And like, I guess one thing you could look at with the scheduling too, and I was kind of thinking about this last night, is, you know, with the way that they had the schedule set up, you know, that they have the 6-game series and then they're off on Monday. If he's pitching on Friday, we probably won't see him actually pitch on like the 4 days rest for a couple weeks now. So, cause like if he's pitching on Friday, that means we're probably still like 2 or 3 weeks away from him pitching on a Tuesday, which then he would wrap around again to Sunday. So if you want him to get used to that, I was thinking in my head, maybe like you have him do that maybe twice in the minors, but that may, with how he looked on this weekend, that may be too long anyways. But if you really want to get him that full experience and maybe throw him like 4 or 5 innings both those times, just to like, okay, well, that checks the final box, that would probably be the best way to do it. Let him go through the, you know, the rotation a couple times and everything like that. Let him do that Tuesday and Sunday start maybe twice, and then by time that rolls around, you're like, okay, well, that's late enough in the season, let's get him up and stretch him out completely, like you're saying. Let him go start going 6-7 whatever innings in the majors. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at. That seems like a good plan. I like that plan. Let him do that Tuesday, Saturday, let him do that twice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, don't pitch him. Like, he should never be pitching 6 innings in a minor league game. If there's only so many bullets in that gun, save him.
And what it'd probably be about, what do you do at LSU last year? Like, it was like 120, 130, somewhere around that.
Yeah.
So what, maybe like 150, 160? You probably wouldn't want to go past that this year.
Right.
Which is still a solid amount of innings, by the way.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's a season's worth
for most Pirates these days. Like, Mitch clearly past that, but I don't think you were really, even in the last couple of years, you probably didn't have many guys near that in the majors as is.
Yeah, so, Oviedo last year and Keller, yeah. That was it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, like I said, Skenes pitched Saturday, dominant. You mentioned Priester earlier. A lot of things Quinn Priester needs to work on in the minor leagues. I think he looked better during spring training than the end of last year, but certainly some things to work on, particularly with the fastball and just the shape there. But I guess let's kind of take an in-depth dive into Quinn Priester's start on Sunday. What did you see there? Like, a lot of strikeouts, 9 strikeouts and 5 2/3 innings, I believe is what it was. Only 1 hit allowed, 1 run. Like, he looked dominant against that Louisville lineup. But yeah, I mean, kind of what did we see out of Priester on Sunday?
Well, I think the first thing that kind of stood out, and we got like a confirmation after one game, after the game, you mentioned there that the fastball, the shape looked a lot better on the 4-seam. Like, it actually looked like something that'd be a lot more passable at the major league level. He didn't throw it much. He only threw it 10 times, which I think based on the success he had it with last year, that's probably what you want him to be around. Picked up a couple whiffs with it. He was mainly a sinker slider, which I think those are his two best pitches. So like if I think if you look at his breakdown of his start and you look how he used all his pitches, when he used his pitches, this is the exact blueprint that you're going to want to see from him the rest of the year. And like I said, mainly sinker slider, mixed in the curveball too. Got up to 96 with the fastballs. Really solid start. Like numbers aside, I thought that Quinn should have earned a rotation spot. I mean, it's a whole nother conversation as far as like, you know, what they wanted to try with, you know, Bailey Falter and maybe like Ortiz as the guy following up and yeah.
yeah.
Sunday started out as one of those times when I was saying, it's like, well, you know, it's a good thing that I'm watching this minor league game and you guys can have fun with the major league one that changed quickly.
Yeah, gee, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. but I mean, everything looked good. Like, I mean, at this point, I kind of feel like Priester's at the point to where like the stuff he needs to work on needs to be worked on at the major league level. You know, better command in the zone, that kind of stuff, facing a major league lineup the second and third time through, all that kind of stuff. He's not really going to work on that he's not going to really accomplish that in AAA. But I guess as if you're going to be there, this is what you're going to want to see from him. So he had like 20 whiffs total. Like I said, he's not a big swing and miss guy. So you know, that's why we kind of brought up how good the Louisville lineup is. But I mean, if he's throwing the sinker, commanding it in the zone, the slider, it's been incredible watching, you know, because like when he first entered the system, it was the curveball, and then he added the slider and just watch how that's slowly grown into just like his go-to out pitch. Mm-hmm. And now to where like he's a actual sinker slider guy. I think it fits perfectly for the Pirates in the back of the rotation. It's just let them do whatever experiment they want to do in the majors. Once they get that out of their system, I think Quinn just kind of slides perfectly in there, and we get to actually see if he can make the adjustments to be a major league guy.
Yeah. No, great stuff. Indianapolis has, like I said, the 6-game series against Memphis, and then also Altoona, Greensboro, Bradenton all open up this week on Friday. So this weekend will be the first time where pretty much the entire organization is playing. So I guess real quick, what are you looking most forward to this coming week? I mean, outside the Indianapolis games, but with the other affiliates starting this weekend.
I think the thing that will be interesting to kind of see, obviously Altoona's rotation, even though Skeens isn't there, still has a really good potential to be a really good rotation. I think another thing too is Tamar Johnson has been playing a lot at Pirate City with like the AA team. So it'll be interesting to see if that's where he gets assigned to.
Okay.
I don't know where it's something's like, well, we're going to try you here and then we can always kind of just send you to Greensboro if we're not liking what we're seeing. But that infield becomes even more interesting. Should he make the team?
Really, yeah, I guess if he goes like to Altoona, yeah, I guess if Termar's in Altoona, then you're looking at Termar there. You're looking at Chang there, and then you're looking at
Brannigan.
And Brannigan. Yeah, it's a nice little
infield. Looks like Seth Beer probably is going to start in AA too. So I mean, I guess that's a pretty good AA infield then at that point.
He should rake. Double A. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, but double A seems like they're even the outfield too potentially has some like fringe guys that can kind of go either way at this point. You know, if a couple things fall into place, then they're interesting guys at that point. So
good, really good stuff.
Well, let me ask you this too. So as the season's kicking off, who right now is like your dark horse as far as prospects who you're interested in that no one's really talking about that you might see like make this jump this year?
So one guy that like he just popped up on Pipeline's top 30 for the Pirates, and it's a guy that I was he probably starts the year in Bradenton again, but I've been a really big Omar Alfonso guy. Great defensive catcher. They really signed him as a like for his bat originally, and he just kind of grown into like a really solid catcher. spent some time at first base too, just to keep getting the bat in the line, in the lineup. His at 19 years old, his exit velocity numbers were pretty intriguing. He also chase rate was really strong. The contact rates were really good. There's just a lot of like little pieces there that like, okay, let's get him there over a full season and kind of just see, you know, let's see another year getting older, another a little bit stronger and stuff like that. And definitely a guy that was interesting to watch, especially late in the season.
Okay.
Yeah. So, one of the few guys in Bradenton who didn't strike out 30% of the time.
Yeah.
I can see why you attach yourself to him then. Cool. No, I like that. So yeah, you know, obviously again, like this week, everything's gonna be kicking off. I love the segment. Just like Jim said, we talk about it, but like, there's no one better than you right now to really talk about this stuff. Pick your brain on these guys. Yeah. Like that Quinn Priester start too had me thinking, I mean, everyone's talking about Jared Jones and it's like, he had 20 plus whiffs too. And it's like, oh, Quinn Priester just did that also. So yeah, that's got me looking because we watched Bailey Falter have to pitch on Sunday also. So maybe Quinn Priester could like, you know, maybe get up there and start performing at least better than Bailey Falter. But yeah, caught my eye. But like you said, maybe it's just more of the bats than Quinn Priester. We'll find out. But at any rate, no, this is awesome. I appreciate all your insight here and talking some Pirates prospects.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So nice. Starbucks on deck. Tell everybody where they can find you, Murphy.
Obviously I'm on Twitter a lot, at @_Murphy88. Go to Bucks on Deck Substack. We have 3 articles generally a day. Like a little bit of like a rundown of everything that happened yesterday. You know, like our daily feature, and then a game day article if you guys want to come in and just chat about the game and stuff like that. So
good stuff.
Great stuff. Yep. Thank you, Murphy.
No problem, man. No problem. Thanks for having me.
See you next week.
Appreciate you joining.
All right, man.
Bright and early.
We'll have more stuff to talk about next week too. We'll have all 4 teams to talk about. So should be fun. Looking forward to it.
Look forward.
All right. Cool. See you, man.
All right, man.
Bye.
Good stuff. So Skeens, Quinn Priester, very encouraging outings by both. Yeah. So love to see their next one.
Yeah, I'm excited too to have Murphy on board this year, given those prospect updates. Like I said, we pay attention, but like that's his like
he pays attention.
He loves that stuff. So we appreciate him. That should be a super fun segment
for sure. So I guess last thing on our list today, let's preview this upcoming series a little bit. So obviously the Pirates swept the Marlins 4-0. They now go into DC. They play today. They're off tomorrow and then play Wednesday and Thursday against the Nationals. I guess I just want to start off on this. The Nationals probably aren't any better than the Marlins. So that's a good thing. Now, as far as pitching goes, you know, the Pirates are going to have, well, today it's Perez. Oh, no, today's Gonzalez. Then they'll have Mitch Keller and Perez line up. So I guess like the more veteran pitchers will be pitching for the Pirates. We see how their offense is right now. The pitching isn't all that great for the we knew it wasn't good for the Marlins. It's not all that great for the Nationals either. So, Jim, what are you taking away from the series upcoming from this Pirates team?
Yeah, I mean, if anything, the Nationals are worse than the Marlins. I mean, I think the Nationals are neck and neck with the Rockies, probably better than the Rockies, but they are the clear second worst team in the National League. I think just looking at their roster top to bottom, they get Mackenzie Gore today. They get Trevor Williams on Wednesday, the Nationals starter.
Oh, buddy pal, Trevor.
Trevor Williams. And then Josiah Gray, the starter on Thursday, who Josiah Gray got really roughed up in his opening day outing. I feel like we haven't seen much of Mackenzie Gore. I'm trying to remember if we faced him at all. You know, obviously former top prospect. He shipped over to Washington. He wasn't part of the Soto trade. So big piece of that. looking forward to kind of seeing what he looks like. But again, the Pirates have been able to really, really put it on some left-handed pitchers so far. I think we kind of looked at the five starting left-handers to begin the year and we're like, that's no good, because that means, you know, all of our strong side platoon guys have to sit. And so far, the offense has just smacked these guys around. So let's see if we can go to 5-0 against lefties. That would be pretty awesome. But yeah, I'm looking at this Nationals team. I'm looking at these pitchers. Like, there's the Pirates should take two out of three this series. Like, they are, the Pirates are the better team despite being on the road. They should be able to handle the Nationals. Again, it's a three game series, so anything could happen. But the Pirates are the better team, like, plain and simple. Better lineup, better pitchers, better bullpen. They are the superior team here, which is nice to say for a clear cut. The Pirates are 100% better than the Nationals.
Yeah, I know I'm absolutely with you. And you talk about the Marlins, and it's like, yeah, on paper and before all the injuries, the Marlins were clearly better. Now, the Marlins have been decimated with injuries, and their pitching staff definitely took a hit. But you're like also still correct. Like, even with the hit and the players that are on the Marlins currently, still better, especially like looking at even the lineup, you know? I mean, like, there's still Jazz, Chisholm. You saw Berger actually like tore up the Pirates series. Bell's there. But like with this team, like CJ Abrams, young prospect, some intrigue there. Jesse Winker, like, he's a major leaguer. He's been around a little bit, but like, he's a pretty competent major leaguer in a sense. Keibert Ruiz, Lane Thomas, like Joey Gallo's there. Now Joey Gallo's gonna do well for these pitchers. I think Mitch Keller might eat Joey Gallo alive a few times, which would be good because Mitch Keller getting back his confidence, like getting back from the start that he had in Miami and having a good start here in the Nationals could do pretty well for him. Not that he really needs it, right? I think he's in a good space anyways. He's a very good pitcher at this point. But this lineup could do him well, get him back on track. And then, yeah, like you look at the pitching side, again, like this isn't the knock him, but like Trevor Williams is going to make his next start. It's not all that good. Now, it's funny is, I'll say this, the Pirates are going to miss Patrick Corbin, but that's also probably pretty good because Patrick Corbin's pitched very well against the Pirates in recent years.
Yeah.
Ironically.
That's wild. Like, he's been so bad here lately. But yeah, like missing Patrick Corbin this turnaround is a good thing for the Pirates because he just eats this team up for some reason. You mentioned, Gallo and Winker. The other thing too, the Pirates have going for them is they've got two lefties going this series. So you're probably missing Gallo and Winker and maybe even Rosario for a couple of these games. So, you know, instead of those guys, you're facing, you know, Victor Robles, who, you know, we've seen many years of Victor Robles. He's great defensively, but the dude can't hit really. Right. So, it's going to be a fun series. I'm looking forward to it. I think the Pirates should handle these guys. Again, a sweep would be pretty awesome, but at least two out of three is certainly in the cards here. Marco Gonzalez making his first start for the Pirates too. I'm looking forward to that because he did not look good this spring. Like, he was kind of the one guy out of those four starters, you know, that we let's leave Val Falter out of this, but like Gonzalez didn't look good this spring. So like, how's he going to actually look in a real regular season game that counts? That'll be something I keep an eye on.
Yeah. Very, very good there. Again, spring doesn't really truly matter, but he was like, Martin Perez looked good and he looked pretty good. His start, you know, in the majors for the Pirates the first time. So, right. It will be kind of interesting, like, who's the guy that comes out of spring with Marco Gonzalez? Luckily, he doesn't have a major test in the Nationals to get him ready. So there's part of that. But yeah, so I mean, we've talked about the bullpen. The bullpen looks so good right now at this point in time. It'll be kind of interesting to see, like, the three pitchers going up. Again, they're the three vets as well, handling this, for the most sense, younger-ish lineup with some vets in there. And yeah, like, talk about the pitching. Anthony Murphy said it, you know, Gore and Gray solid enough to give problems. I mean, they're young, talented arms. But again, we as Pirates fans have watched the team for so long, you know enough about young, talented arms right? A good veteran, good lineup come in and easily handle that. So yeah, I think those are two like I'm fearing the most in that sense. And again, Trevor Williams in the middle of there, we kind of know what Trevor Williams is as well. Very pedestrian. He's still a major league pitcher. He's on the Nationals this year now.
Barely. But, he's clinging on. He's clinging on.
That's fair. Absolutely. Yeah. But right. So I think as well, like this is kind of cool for the Pirates because they went to Miami, swept them, now going to the Nationals. I think, like you said, like there's certainly reasons to believe like they could easily go 2-3. So coming out of that to face the Orioles, potentially being like 6-1 be pretty huge.
I mean, that's what we're looking at. Yeah. If you take this series, you're 6-1 going into the Orioles, and then that's just a World Series preview at that point.
You're right. I forgot about that. In a packed PNC Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm looking forward to actually facing some righties though too. I would like to get Jack Sawinski some bats. He was my pick to be an all-star this year, and we haven't really gotten to see him a whole lot. So get Jack Sawinski some at bats against some righties. Get Rowdy Tellez some at bats against some righties. You saw just yesterday in the game, right? Against the starter, Rowdy went 0-3 with 3 strikeouts. Righty comes in, boom, 3-run homer, right? So
right.
Let's get Rowdy some at bats against some people he can succeed against. Same with Jack. Yeah, kind of looking forward to maybe a more normal looking roster. Like, let's see O'Neill Cruz at leadoff instead of like that sixth part in the order. Looking forward to that kind of stuff today.
And yeah, I'm with you. And then also, Kutch was out for 2 games, hoping maybe he comes and returns back to the lineup. And part of your over under you mentioned, which I didn't even realize, like he, I guess, rakes against the Nationals in Washington. So having him come back potentially today.
Yeah, career 981 OPS against the Nationals.
There you go.
For Andrew McCutchen. So, yeah. Number 300 coming in this series?
We'll find out.
Could happen.
We'll find out. All right. Well, I think that pretty much wraps everything up. So, with that said, Ryan and I will be on the post game today, powered by Permanente Brothers. So, let's go Bucks, right? Let's get the fifth win today.
Let's keep it rolling.
I hope so. All right, let's get out of here. Appreciate you all for watching. We'll see you later today. And of course, tomorrow, or no, off tomorrow, then back Wednesday. So, bye-bye.
See you guys.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can. And we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.